This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Daniel, hi.
Could you make me a woman?
Honey, I'm so happy.
Oh, come here. I knew you'd understand. Is this gonna hurt?
Don't whine, just relax.
Are you sure?
Just remember, pain is beauty. Okay, here we go. Take a deep breath. Instant eye lift.
Wow.
And you'll never see the strings that'll be under the wig.
The man has 5 o'clock shadow at 8:30 a.m. and you're worried about strings?
All right, we'll start with makeup.
I'm not gonna wax.
Don't worry, we'll just lightly spackle.
Feel like Gloria Swanson.
You look like a mother.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:38, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined by Sharmila Ganesan and Dashran Johan for a second week running, standing in, of course, for our holiday
You've
friend.
You've already forgotten him?
No, I'm pausing.
Yes, for Ivan Uvarach, who's away on holiday.
I'm trying to figure out how much or how little I want to blame Arvin for not being here. I'm like, holidaying friend.
The resentment is real.
Absent friend. Anyway, for Arvin, of course. Dash, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here as always.
So we started the show today with, in case you did not recognize that from that classic 90s soundtrack, that was just a little bit of Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire. And that's because today's show is all about gender swaps. Although I have to admit we're being misleading because not that kind.
No, not that kind. But, you know, for a long time, that was the only kind we had. Mm. We had men dressing up as women, women having to pretend to be men so that they could do things they usually couldn't do. But also, I think we've been having sort of a more meta, outside of the film frame, gender swap because I suppose in a bid to be more inclusive, there have been conversations and even actual attempts at taking tropes or films or franchises, rather, that feature a very famous male character and swapping the gender around.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, whenever we talk about this, like one of the biggest pushbacks I feel is that people will say, no, you know, we need more, instead of sort of replacing or gender swapping a famous male actor or famous male character with a female, people say, why don't you just, you know, come up with new characters, new heroes and new heroines? The thing is, I think that's a very fair point. But at the same time, I think that argument isn't as straightforward. You know, because of our current landscape in of cinema, right? Because I think right now we live in the culture of reboots, remakes, recycles. And I think a lot of filmmakers are trying to operate within these parameters because they feel that this is what's going to be making money. And they gender swap the only thing that's fresh they're doing is, you know, let's take an established franchise and instead of the same guys, let's just put females now instead.
Mm. I think this is also coming at a time when this idea of representation is so important because, I mean, the Me Too movement is many, many things and I don't necessarily want to get into it on the show, but I think that a big part of it was this idea of, well, actually, how many female stories are we seeing on screen? And we are seeing the same reaction now with the Black Lives Matter movement where people are asking, well, how many, for example, you know, how many people of color and how many stories of theirs are we actually centering and all these questions. And so I think that is why the idea of gender swaps can sometimes feel a little bit reductive or, you know, somewhat pandering. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's generally, I'm not going to deviate all that much from this. We have seen very few examples, I think, in all honesty. Really, it's Ghostbusters.
Well, and Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8, yeah.
Yeah, sort of, you know. And so I...
And I guess you can expand that scope a little bit to include things like Batwoman, which had Ruby Rose, mostly because Batwoman wasn't an adjunct to Batman. So it's also the idea of... not a gender swap, but kind of also riding on an existing franchise, but creating more space, supposedly, for female roles?
I think I think it's, yeah, because I agree with you, but at the same time, it's a little different, right? Because I think in general, people had less of a problem with Batwoman. I mean, they had their own problems, but I think that has less to do with gender swapping and more to do with other things. But whereas when we, because Batwoman is a character that exists in the comics itself. So what I've realized is that people seem to be a little bit more okay if there's sort of a comic book or a source material that already has this character. Whereas when it's just within the film, like if it's a popular male character, then you just directly swap it with a woman.
Which most people are actually very precious about, not just in terms of gender, but many things, right down to he had green eyes and not blue eyes.
Yes, or Jack Reacher's height is what I was thinking about. Because when Tom Cruise was cast in that role, that was a very, very big deal. So I think that the thing here is... because I'm not in the industry, and I'm never going to be, I don't think, I am coming at this purely from the view of a consumer, purely from the view of somebody who just wants to be able to watch good films, enjoy good films. And as we've been saying ad nauseum on this show, the center of that is a good story. Mm. And so I'm invested in, I think, just having good stories be told, having more diverse stories be told, but not necessarily doing that in the form of saying, well, it's as easy as look. We'll just swap them out. No one will notice. It'll be fine. And I find also that the thing about the gender swaps that we have seen is that they don't actually take that much... the gender almost doesn't matter beyond the fact of the actress playing that character, right? They don't really make any further adjustments within the story to accommodate that. And so there is no real freshness that's added from the swap.
Yes, and if the conversation is actually, or rather the contention that we have with the films thus far is the fact that... So if you take any film, say Batman or James Bond, which we will definitely talk about later, they are very male stories. They appeal to the male psyche. They tell stories of what it's like to grow up and to live in a man's world. Now, putting a woman into that and changing nothing else actually does not tell a female story at all.
That's the thing.
Yeah, all it does is tell kind of a nothing story, like a man's story, but... Yeah, so I'm struggling with maybe that's why I'm generally leery of these things, because I feel like very little effort is made to accommodate for anything more than just here's a frame and there's an empty spot. Let's put someone there.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement too, because, you know, like Lynn brought up, you know, we have a bigger call for more diverse voices, and that includes more of a female representation. And at the same time, like I mentioned, you know, we are in this culture of reboots, remakes. And so what a lot of studios, I think they are just doing is let's just merge these two together. And what results is a gender swap film. But at the same time, they don't have, like when we look at Ocean's 8, which I find to be a pretty decent, entertaining film. But when I leave the film, I'm also at the same time thinking this could have been all guys and it would have been exactly the same. Maybe besides, you know, a couple of jokes here and there and all. Because what it seems like is these filmmakers or these writers, they don't have a particularly interesting story to tell. They don't have a strong reason as to why they want to, you know, swap out the gender. They don't have a nuanced sort of commentary that they are trying to get through. They are just... like Sharmila mentioned, you know, it's the same exact thing. It's just you're swapping the genders, which then I think that's where it rubs a lot of people wrongly, because then the question is why? Why does this film need to even exist in the first place?
Always a bad sign when you get to that point. Yes. So we're talking today about gender swaps, or the idea of just, you know, taking a previously male character, swapping in a female actor and going, ta-da, are you happy now? And so I think the question here is, based on what we've seen in the past, based on the conversations that we've been having about, say, a female Bond, for instance, do you like this approach in your movies and your TV? Is this something that you like? Or would you rather see a fresh character being brought forth? let us know your thoughts. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, where we also have a poll running. We'll get back into that right after this, and keep it here on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You know what? That. We are scientists. Plus, Patty.
Thank you. Well,
okay, we believe in provable physical results. That's what we believe in.
Yes, we do.
Preach.
Preach. You know what we're going to do, ladies? We're going to catch a ghost. We're going to catch a ghost. Bring it back to the lab. Kevin?
Yes, boss.
Who was on the phone?
The Stonebrook Theater. There's a goat on the loose.
I'm going to load up the car.
Hey, you guys, I got these from work. I'm making it official, man. You put one of these on, we won't get slimed again.
It's great.
Oh, look at this beauty!
Wait a minute. What did you do to my uncle's hearse?
I fixed it.
Man, this is so inappropriate for this vehicle.
Oh, we have fun.
Woo!
It's something strange in the neighborhood. Who are you going to call?
BFM 89.9, it's 7:49 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Dash. And together today, we're trying to unpack the twisted issue, the complicated issue of gender swaps, which is to say just swapping straight up formerly male characters, making them female and, like I said earlier, going, ta-da, ladies, come to the movie. And so far, I'll just broadly say none of us are fans of this approach, but we are asking you this very question on Twitter as well. Do gender swaps work when it comes to making good female-centered movies or TV shows? And out of over 100 votes, so 45.9% are saying depends if they're good, while 39.4%, very close, are saying no, tell original stories, and a meager 14% are saying yes, I love them. We are also getting other messages which we'll get to shortly, but before that, I wanted to first, look, let's just get into it. Ghostbusters. How?
Well, so I think Ghostbusters is the perfect example, right? Because it's both an example of the kind of hate that female projects or any kind of diverse projects are capable of attracting from online trolls for no good reason, because nobody had watched the film when the hate happened. Mm. But also, as someone who watched that film and was literally moved to tears, I wanted to stand up and cheer at the end of that movie, because while I, you know, clearly from the first part of the show, I'm not a big fan of the gender swap in films, but this movie did it, in my opinion, so, so well. Here was a film that told a story that was about geeky women who were not supermodel looking, who were not in their roles. Like, hey, she's a scientist, but her legs look great. You know, and they're doing fun things. And I think because it was a movie that I loved so much as a child, watching that movie reimagined with a space for me was so incredibly precious. Like, nobody would think you'd cry in Ghostbusters, but I did. Just because I felt like, finally, something that I can see myself in that's cool.
And I think, actually, you bring up a really, really good point, because listening to you talk about Ghostbusters, it makes me happy, because I liked the movie. I really like it. But I think what Sharmila mentioned just a second ago highlights why this whole gender swapping thing is a very sort of complex issue. Because while I agree with Sharmila and I did find the movie enjoyable, For me personally, I also, throughout the movie, I could sort of see the strings of what they were trying to do. So in a sense, I could, like, whenever there's a sort of a feminist joke, which I think most of them in the movie were funny, but it, to me at least, it felt like it was put there because this is Ghostbusters, and now that we have, you know, we have swapped out the genders, so let's sort of include this type of humor. And I don't know if any of the humor sort of caught me off guard, because I think a lot of it didn't. It most of it felt a bit on the nose. And I think I don't know whether that is because I walked into the film already with this notion, like maybe with this sort of extra critical lens or whatever, you know, where I know they're doing this gender swapping thing. So I'm now going to sort of watch it with a little bit more scrutiny. I don't know if that was my approach to the film, but I definitely felt that I could see a little bit of the strings of what they were trying to do.
I guess I know who I'm not inviting to my parties now.
there are a couple of things that I wanted to pick up on both, you know, both of you talking about Ghostbusters. First, and I'm just going to put a pin in this and return to it, is this issue of marketing in movies and what it does to the movie. Because I think that that's worth kind of looking at, especially when filmmakers are so busy trying to pat themselves on the back for saying, I'm so progressive. And the marketing department takes that and runs with it. The other thing is, in our review of Enola Holmes, which we spoke about yesterday, Arvin, the holidaying one, spoke about what it was that he was picking up from it. And he said to him, you know, it wasn't a detective movie. He didn't really care about that part of the story, so on and so forth. And I think in that same vein, for me, Ghostbusters, my approach to it, also as somebody who loved the original, is that it's about the guys. So in the original, it was about the friendships. It was about the repartee. It was about the connection that they had. And that was what made the comedy work. And so for me, because that was what I was looking for, that was what I wanted to tap into and access, this movie did it for me. I liked it because I thought that the leads had a lot of chemistry. They've worked well together in the past. They clearly like one another. And that was enough for me. So while, yes, I acknowledge that there are holes in it, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it because I got the same thing out of it as I did from the 80s original. I recognize that other people did not. But the gender part of it is fine.
So I think that's a really great point, right? Because that was the same issue that Dash just mentioned, and what you talked about, the marketing or the positioning of something, was what did it for me with Enola, which I know you liked, Dash, as well. And I know a lot of people really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's getting great reviews. But for me, the sort of push of, like, you know, label, this is a feminist story, this is a, you know, it kind of put me in a certain frame of mind when I went in to watch it. And I think that does do something to you. You either go in expecting something amazing, or you expect it to fit a certain frame or a certain playbook. And when it doesn't, then you're kind of like, okay, I'm leaning back and crossing my arms and being grouchy.
I think you're right there. You probably hit the nail on the head, because Enola Holmes was completely under the radar. It just flew. Like, I didn't know when it was coming out. I knew they were making Enola Holmes, and I knew Millie Bobby Brown was starring in it and all that. But besides that, I wasn't so in tune with the news surrounding Enola Holmes. So I honestly didn't even watch the trailer of it. So I did not know that this was being positioned as a sort of maybe a feminist spin on Sherlock Holmes. So when I watched the film, like, I just casually watched it over the weekend. I was swept away by the story. And unlike how, you know, my thoughts towards Ghostbusters, my thoughts of Ghostbusters, like, with Enola Holmes, I couldn't see what they were sort of going for.
You couldn't see the puppet masters.
Yeah, I couldn't see the puppet masters. And I was swept away by the story. And whenever there were moments where, you know, Millie Bobby Brown's character, Enola, you know, sort of, she does something that is maybe typically tied or traditionally tied to what a guy would do, for example, I really, really was like all for it. And I also like how they really balance the whole, you know, yes, this, you know, she's you know, she fights really well, and she's adventurous, and she's willing to get, you know, dirty and roll in the mud and things like that. But at the same time, there's also that sort of, I like how they tackle the romance angle, for example. It's not so, you know, because I am a feminist, I do not like romance. You know, these kind of notions that people like to put out. I thought Enola Holmes tackled and balanced it really well, much like they did with Wonder Woman.
I disagree so much, but I've already spoken so intensely about Enola yesterday. I don't have it in me anymore. But I will just say that on Twitter, Jim is saying, Enola Holmes, gender swap or fresh take? I'm thinking the latter. So as Shyamala said earlier, as we said yesterday, we are not in the majority here when it comes to how we feel about Enola. Jim also went on to say Enola lol because the initial thing was Emily Holmes, which I had to Google. I was really worried I missed something.
Like we missed some subversive take that like came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, turns out Emily Holmes is in fact a Canadian actress, so I don't want to disrespect her. But yes, I was caught off guard for a second. We also have a message here from Kamal that I think is just so, is quite insightful on this issue of Ghostbusters, saying that the problem is when actual bad movies, Ghostbusters, can't be criticized because apparently then you're a sexist dinosaur, and then actual good movies, such as Oceans, can't be praised because then you're a blind, raging feminist. So then when you see gender swap, you just groan. And I think this is exactly what we were talking about with the issue of marketing, which is, you know, when a movie is marketed a certain way, it leaves everybody immediately pushed and polarized to, you know, to be primed to respond in a certain light.
And, you know, even when filmmakers or companies do things like what Elizabeth Banks did with Charlie's Angels, where she comes out and says, well, you know, people didn't like this film because you're sexist. I think that doesn't really respect the audience because you're putting a label on an audience. Maybe they didn't like it because it just wasn't a good movie. I mean, even his tweet, right? Like he clearly liked
Oceans.
I didn't. He didn't like Ghostbusters. Dash didn't particularly. We did. So these things are so subjective.
So we are going to be continuing this conversation on the idea of gender swapping traditionally male characters. We haven't even touched on female Bond, which is a huge thing. So let us know what works and what doesn't work for you in this regard. And also, guys, just tell us, do you want a lady Bond or no? And I'm saying lady here purposely. So, you know, do you want a female Bond? Let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Watson, I have no inclination to excise Andrew from your life. Why would I? I like the man.
Oh, you like him?
Yeah.
You never told me that.
Well, why would I tell you? To reassure you that you've made a sound choice, as one might reasonably expect a friend to do. Right. Well, very well. I like him. He's intelligent. He hasn't just jumped into a new business. He has the patience and self-possession to wait for something worthwhile. And, most importantly, he understands you. He understands you and me.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, Watson, that whether you care to admit it lately or not, I am an important part of your life. And whether I say it out loud or not, you are an important part of mine. My return to New York was driven in large part by a desire to repair our relationship. And I think, even though we might draw further or nearer from each other, depending on circumstance, you and I are bound somehow. Andrew accepts that without feeling needlessly threatened. It's a rather enlightened position. And so, no, I've got no desire to banish the man to Scander Bloody Navia.
Okay, I believe you. I kind of feel like hugging you right now.
Yet as my friend, you know that would be a rash decision.
BFM 89.9, it is 8:08, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Dash. And together we're talking about gender swapping in movies and television. And that was a great example from TV. So I've kind of weirdly come out this week as some mega Elementary fan, apparently. and it is a good show, I think, for anybody who hasn't watched it. It's very enjoyable. Don't be put off by its proximity to BBC's Sherlock, but also relevant today because Lucy Liu is so wonderful in the role of Dr. Joan Watson to Johnny Lee Miller's Sherlock. And it's a great example of a gender swap done correctly, because as you hear in that clip, he makes reference to the fact that a male partner of Jones might not be able to understand that relationship. And that's not something that the male partnership of the classic, you know, Holmes and Watson would actually have to contend with.
In fact, for most of the shows, they just kind of like, oh, well, hey, your wife doesn't like me, so what? I actually remember when they first announced Elementary and it was going to premiere. I never actually watched the show, though I've watched clips, but I remember that there was actually a lot of controversy and there was a lot of the same kinds of questions we've been talking about in this show. Does this need to exist? Are you just pandering by casting, by flipping the gender of Watson, and why does it have to be an Asian woman? You're just trying to tick all the boxes. And so for a show that started off on that footing and also suffered unfairly, I think, by existing at the same timeline as the BBC Sherlock, I think this show has aged really well and feels very ahead of its time now.
Yeah, I've never watched the show either.
Guys, but it's it's Benedict Cumberbatch, I'm telling you. Blame him.
Did you not hear Johnny Lee Miller's lovely voice?
Now I want to watch it.
Yeah, I really want to watch it as well because of, you know, I think Lynn sold it really well. And also the clips, it's like you said, you know, it adds a layer. That means it's not just gender swapping for the sake of it. They are talking about the female, perhaps, like, it will be a completely different perspective. And I think much like how, you know, there are some who perhaps they are not familiar with, let's say, Miles Morales, and they always say that, oh, Miles Morales is just a black Peter Parker. But when you actually, like, perhaps read the comics or if you watch the animated film that came out last year, a couple of years ago, it's not just the same character with a different skin color. They have their own unique set of experiences. They go through their own unique struggles. Because when it comes to these kind of shows or even films in general, it's not just about the mission that they are going on or this villain that they need to fight. It's about the characters, how they interact. It's about the family dynamics and all these kinds of things. So if you want to do it right, like how perhaps Elementary has done, it's like what Lynn said, you know, you have to go through. It's not just about swapping the genders. It's about providing a whole new different perspective.
It's also the fact that Watson, I think, in the classic sense, has a bit of an inferiority complex to Sherlock, right? Who's like the super genius, and Watson is perceived as just his sidekick who follows him around. And so in the case of Elementary, again, they really play with that idea because Joan starts to emerge as a detective in her own right, and she gets undermined and sometimes dismissed in ways that I think a lot of women would be familiar with. And so again, they get to play with that idea and add on to it. And also it's Lucy Liu in several episodes, like all the time. Who doesn't want more of that? Okay, so on the subject of, I guess, iconic characters that might be gender swapped, it is time now, guys, to dive into the weird and wacky world of a female James Bond. Just to say that we already have a comment here from Alberto who says, regarding a female Bond character, yes, all for it, as it would reflect reality more accurately. Lots of operatives are female in most intelligence outfits. We are heavily influenced by spy literature where most characters are male. I just hope a female Bond wouldn't drink half as much.
That's an interesting comment.
I think that's an interesting perspective, and I can see where you're coming from, but I don't quite know if I'm in agreement with it, because to me, Bond, it's not about the spy. Again, it's not about whether he's an operative, like or like the missions that he's going on. To me, at least, it's not about whether in real life you have X amount of female operatives compared to male operatives or not. To me, Bond as a character is so intrinsically tied with his masculinity for good or for bad. A lot of things, like, you know, other than the crimes aspect of it, you know, a lot of it may not be, you know, sort of good values, you know, in a traditional sense, you know, but that is especially in the Daniel Craig Bonds, they really dive into the psychology, why he sort of sleeps around with many women, how he reached that state, what is his state of mind, how does he look at women as, you know, does he see women as someone of equal stature, or does he see them differently? And I think that all these things, including the drinking problem, he's clearly an alcoholic, you know, ties together. That's what makes Bond Bond. So I wonder if you just do a direct gender swap, it may still be an operative, a movie about a secret agent, but is it a movie about a secret agent named Bond?
Yeah, I actually completely agree. I have no desire at all to see a female Bond. Do I want to see an amazing spy film that is about a woman? Yes, I really do. But I want that to be a role that was written for a woman. I don't want a retrofitted... Ian Fleming wrote a man. He wrote a man living in a man's world. Now, that's been imagined and reimagined over time. But the series has actually, as you said, done it very cleverly. They actually address the masculinity as a pathology. They address the womanizing or the inability to emote as things that need to be addressed, right? I don't think that
the mommy issues, the daddy issues.
Exactly. So all of those things are great. And it may seem relatively simple to transpose a woman into that role, but it really isn't.
I am a forever Bond apologist. I recognize that it may not be popular to say. It's not even feminist sometimes, I think, to say that I enjoy Bond as much as I do. An important part of my childhood, an important part of my life as a movie watcher, I will always love James Bond. And for that reason, and for I don't think I need to repeat the arguments because I'd just be retreading the ground that you guys have covered, I really enjoy James Bond and the questions over who gets to play James Bond, while also simultaneously desiring a character as cool, as indelible, and as memorable, right? Written for a woman, played in the same memorable way by a woman. So I'm not for the Jane Bond thing. Even saying it, I feel sad. But yeah, I'm not really for it. And we also have, I think, comments already coming in, or having already come in, on the subject of other characters that are kind of very specific to their gender, which we'll get to, I think, after this. Just some others then. I love this. Ming says, Lucy Liu's dress sense in Elementary is spot on. Guys, please start watching it. And also, it's true. We also have this from Rachel, I think, who's saying, a female Bond, why? There's Modesty Blaise.
Make a Modesty Blaise film. Come on. It's ripe for the filming.
Ooh, I would watch that.
Is Dash like, I don't know Modesty Blaise, I'm too young for this?
No, I definitely heard that. Not super familiar. But then I do have to ask, do you all think that these sort of characters will find its way on screen? Because yes, from an art appreciator, for a film watcher, you know, these sort of perspective, as a consumer, you know, I'm not thinking about the money side of things or anything like that. So of course I want, you know, original female heroes, or at least, you know, female heroes based on books or something that I have not been explored on the big screen. But I wonder if we will ever get that, because I think right now what we're seeing is, yes, there's a lot of space for, you know, a movie like, you know, Age of 17 and things like that. But when it comes to these big action heroes type of roles, there aren't that much, you know, sort of effort being put into trying to create an original female character that could become an icon, other than that, you know, in already existing franchises. Like, I would say Rey from Star Wars is definitely an icon right now, but it's, again, you know, it's in Star Wars.
Well, Captain Arriva agrees with you, saying Star Wars did well for me. So, and I think broadly speaking, again, we agree on the subject of Rey.
Oh yeah, I think Rey was a great evolution of the characters that were around in the initial trilogy.
Okay, so let us know. I mean, what do you think about the idea of a female Bond? And then, more broadly speaking, are there characters that you think are so tied to their gender that you never want to see them remade? Do you like the idea of gender swapping in general? We'll come back and get to these comments and questions after this. That number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, Miss Ocean. As you know, parole is a privilege.
It's a mistake, but it happened. And if I were to be released, I would I would just want the simple life. I just want to hold down a job, make some friends, you know, pay my bills.
Even if this was possible, you'd need 20 people.
7 people.
Why do you need to do this?
Because it's what I'm good at.
BFM 89.9. It's 8:21. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Dash and Sharmila. And together we are talking about the concept of gender swapping as a way to increase representation in films. I say talking about, mostly we've just been like slamming on it and dunking on it and saying we don't like it. And presenting different arguments as to why, and also talking about different characters, I think. So earlier we were talking about James Bond, and let's, before we go to the messages, of which there are quite a few and some really interesting comments, Ocean's 8, I think, is an example of, it's not a straight gender swap, but it is a retelling of a franchise in an all-female sense. And I found it charming enough. If you look at the cast, it's impossible for it not to be charming, essentially. But my main question with it is, why does she have to be Danny Ocean's sister? Is that the thing that makes the movie worth telling?
And the heist is not very good. Like, it's not well done. A lot of it is planned they wanted to be at the Met Ball so that the women can wear pretty dresses, and then that seems to be the reason why it exists. My best example of why I think Ocean's 8 is a lousy example of a sort of a gender swap is, I watched it with my mum, who hadn't watched the previous Ocean's films. When the movie ended, I turned to her and she was like, oh, that was quite fun. And I said, you should watch Ocean's 11. And I think that's a great example of something that Ocean's 8 would be nothing without the first two. Nobody would really care. And that's because you're only enjoying it in reference to the former. And that's not what representation is. If something has to exist because something else exists, that's not representation.
Yeah. And I actually enjoyed Ocean's 8. I didn't like it as much as the original, but I thought it was a fun time at the cinema. But again, I think it goes back to what we've been talking about, right? It's this idea. I don't think the writers and filmmaker of Ocean's 8, you know, sat down one day and he got inspired by this great story about Danny Ocean's sister.
This ragtag bunch.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. It's a case of reverse engineering. You know, which franchises haven't we tapped into? Okay, that's Ocean's. Okay, let's do something with it, because, you know, the era of reboots and nostalgia. And then, you know, how do we sort of, you know, get people to go to the cinema? What's hot right now? Okay, female representation. Let's just make a character Danny Ocean's sister, and then just go from there. There is no interesting perspective or story that's being told. What we did get, I think, you know, the humor, the personality or the charm of the characters and all from in terms of performances. I thought on that front, everyone delivered. But again, like, I come out of the cinema asking myself, why did this film need to exist in the first place?
So we have some comments that have come through on the subject of, female Bond and gender swapping in general. SL is simply saying, why female Bond? Have you heard of Salt? Evelyn Salt. Did she ever introduce herself that way in the film? I don't think she did.
I don't think so. But actually, Salt is the movie that comes to my mind every time someone talks about a female Bond.
The two actresses that come to mind, in fact, are Angelina Jolie and then Charlize Theron. It's basically the two of them and nobody else, I feel, at the moment.
No, and you mentioned Atomic Blonde off air when we first discussed this. And that's such a good example of a movie that I loved watching. And if you're talking about a female operative movie, it doesn't have to be Bond. It can be an Atomic Blonde.
Mm. Or a Modesty Blaze, as we've established.
Now I'm standing for that one.
Just as an aside, nothing to do with anything, bringing up Modesty Blaze makes me want to see Penelope Pitstop. I just want to see a Penelope Pitstop. I want to see a Muttley. I don't know. Sue me. Okay. Anyway, Kamara Nizam is saying, Captain Marvel was a male character originally, and if the comic books are to be followed, then you'll have She-Hulk, She-Thor, etc.
Well, we already do, right? I mean, I think a She-Hulk is has already been announced as a film.
Mm-hmm. And also, we are getting Natalie Portman as the Mighty Thor in the next. Mm,
that's right.
True. Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever it is, those things come out.
Mm-hmm. You see, and also this thought came to mind when we were talking about Elementary earlier, and I think things can work in comic books and TV that have the space to expand on these characters in a way that they may not work in films.
Part of it is the fact that a lot of comics have the very concept of the multiverse, or this idea of, you know, concurrent storylines, different things being told by different authors and just coming out in different issues. And I think comic book fans, to a certain degree, are primed to accept that in a way that the more linear, you know, movie-going brain is not.
And also, what do you think of the sort of argument that if it's okay, if it's there in the comics, then it can exist? Because I don't think that is really because if the comics can do it, and even if it isn't explored in the comics, why can't they do the same thing? For example, if Batwoman didn't exist in the comic, would it be less okay to make a Batwoman film?
Ooh, y'all, we are getting into the arena of canon. I don't know if we're ready to go
there. I know. I mean, remember Green Eyes, Blue Eyes. Like, people have gone, friendships have ended because of that. I think messing with canon is always really tough. And I do think there's a certain sense of, I'm willing to forgive a Batwoman because she does exist. But don't you dare take my Bruce Wayne and turn her into, I don't know, Beatrice Wayne?
I mean, we got to do better with the name. Yeah. I think just on that front. Shamil is saying, is Doctor Who considered a gender swap? It got quite good viewership rating in the UK, but the bashing that happened on the internet was just horrible. And yes, I remember when that happened. It was horrific. And I think the thing about Doctor Who, in the same way as what we're talking about with comic books, is that with sci-fi, certain things are more permissible than others.
And Doctor Who has had, frankly, actually, when the uproar happened, I really didn't understand it, because Doctor Who has been consistently played by different actors over the six Doctor Who's. And just because you have now a woman, so for me, that and the Ghostbusters backlash had a lot of things in common, in the sense that people were not actually reacting to quality, which is what we've been talking about. That was a clearly sexist, very troll driven attack.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, like, some may ask, you know, if you are saying the same thing about, if you're saying this about Doctor Who, then isn't the whole thing with James Bond the same? But I don't think it is, because I don't think Doctor Who is a particularly, or let's say traditionally, very masculine character, in that I don't think it's
Doctor Who's not even human. Masculinity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? So in that sense, I think it's definitely, it's not the same as James Bond. I think there are some cases where gender swapping shouldn't be as big of a deal as some people may make it out to be, in my opinion. Whereas in some cases, I understand why, you know, people hold it very close to their heart and say, no, it has to be a certain gender.
On Twitter, Ahmad Adlan is asking, what about swapping all the Disney princesses into men? And I have stuff to say about this. I'm also going to pitch a Mulan movie. So just get ready for that. But I'll throw it to you guys first.
Well, I kind of suspect he's being snarky. I'll just say that off the top of my head. If you're not, I'm sorry. But you know what? I'd totally be down for that. If you're going to do a heartfelt film about a Disney prince singing away about the woman that he wants to finally end up with, I would watch that, because that, my friends, is representation.
If Prince Eric lost his voice, it wouldn't make a difference. Sorry, I'm just...
Hey, don't you come for my Eric.
He hardly speaks. I'm just saying. Anyway,
he just needs
sorry.
To have windswept hair. That's all,
for God's sake. Dash?
Yeah, I think that would be a cool idea if it's executed well, especially if it's, you know, meant to be some sort of, you know, self-aware type of comedy kind of thing. But I think, like, let's say I'm not saying this guy is commenting, you know, he could be snarky, he could be one of those trolls, we don't know, right? But let's just talk about the trolls who say, you know, so what if we now turn all your favorite, you know, like, female heroes into male? And I think that's completely invalid, because the whole reason we even have this in the first place is, like, as you know, it ties back to what Lynn mentioned at the very, very start of the show, is that it's about female representation. Now, whether they do it right or not, that's a different argument. But we have so many male heroes out there already, everything that we've been talking about for the past hour, right? And most of the comic book heroes and all that. Whereas female heroes, there is only a sort of limited amount right now. There are not many you know, action heroes and all that young girls can look up to. So it's not the same. It's not the same as, you know, just taking a bunch of, you know, female heroes and then making that franchise now a male-centric franchise. I think it's completely different.
Yeah, and I think, again, just echoing what we've been talking about, it has to be specific, it has to be lived in, it has to be done for a reason, right? So, for instance, nobody wants to see Nate Drew. That's my theory. I don't think anybody needs to see Nancy Drew converted into a boy, for the same reason that nobody needs to see the Hardy... I actually don't know their names.
Frank and Joe.
Okay, I'm sorry. Nobody needs to see Francesca and Josephine, you know? So it's just one of those things where I don't want to strip characters from their context. The thing about Nancy Drew that made her admirable, that made her memorable, is the fact that she's a girl. And in the case of some of the Disney princesses, not all, they originate from folk tales. In some cases, they're very old stories. So I don't want to divorce them from the context that they came from. But in another sense, I don't see anything wrong with the idea of telling, like recasting, as long as the way you do it is specific and makes sense to the gender swap. So to wit,
yes.
I would like to see a Mulan in which the male character has to cross-dress in order to infiltrate the inner court of the emperor to solve a mystery.
Would he be Shang?
He could be Shang. He could be, what is her name? Hua Fa. Whatever. He could be anything, but I'm just thinking
Nominating Cricket.
I'm just thinking that that kind of reverse would be interesting, because then you set a boy into a classically female setting. You actually make the effort to subvert every part of the movie. So not a girl in the army, a boy in the inner courts where no men are there except eunuchs. You know, things like that. That would make sense to me.
But that's also opening up a whole Pandora's box of what we think is funny versus what we think is acceptable. For so long, the idea of a man dressing up as a woman on screen was purely comedy.
Comedic, yeah.
Purely not something anyone would legitimately do unless it was, you know, unless it was for funny reasons or to fool somebody. Whereas when women dressed as men, it's to get access. So that in itself tells you something about this unfair playing field. And I think on that note about Nancy Drew and Nate Drew, the other thing that came to mind... And
we don't have good name swaps, I've realized.
Beatrice Wayne. We should have thought this through better. But to tie in with what Dash said, the truth is we only have Nancy Drew. You know, there are hundreds of tales of boys going out and having adventures. We have one Nancy Drew. So, you know, there's no need to swap Nancy into a boy. You have other boys already. And
Frank and Joe, apparently.
Yes. So ultimately, I think that is the problem, isn't it? That the reason we even talk about gender swaps is because they're just simply not enough on this side of the fence.
So I wanted to close actually from on a message from Danny, who first of all says, just a couple of thoughts. So Tootsie, Dustin Hoffman was excellent in it. I love Tootsie. And also goes on to say there is Veronica Mars besides Nancy
well
Drew.
Well done, yes.
Thank you very much for that. And then this very thoughtful comment saying, speaking about gender swaps, in the same vein where movie characters which were originally written for a female lead, for example, Ellen Ripley in Aliens or Sarah Connor from the Terminator series, having a reboot but with a male lead instead would lead to a backlash from the fans who grew up with the original films. Thus, having original stories is the way to go rather than a reboot with a gender swap. It does work when it's written and directed cleverly, like how it was for Ghostbusters 2016. And we haven't talked about Ellen Ripley or Sarah Connor, but I love the mention of that because I don't want to see a male version of that, A, because it's been done. You know, like there are several other movies I could think of that fit in this realm, but also because both those characters, without giving too much away, their femininity and the fact that there's this close tie to motherhood is so important to their motivation, so important to their story, that doing a straight swap is not the same.
Much like Bond, I think, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So
for different reasons.
Their gender is actually an intrinsic part of their character and their character's arc, and so changing it does a huge disservice to the story.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you think of someone like Sarah Connor and you remove the whole son element out of it and the whole motherhood element out of it, then you're just talking about a buff guy with a gun. So what exactly is it, right? Because what makes these characters like Sarah? I mean, of course, there's more to the character, but I'm just broadly speaking, because what makes these characters interesting and why you can't swap them out is because of their unique perspectives, of their lived experiences, and how you know, all that ties together, the whole transformation of Sarah Connor from, you know, more of an perhaps more innocent, naive waitress into, you know, the person she becomes, I think it wouldn't work as well if it's just, if it's a guy.
And that's it. So we close off as we began. We don't like it. We've been talking today about the idea of gender swaps and how that functions when it comes to trying to increase female representation, better female-centered movies or shows. Keep those thoughts and recommendations coming. Also, are there characters you just never want to see change for reasons that, you know, that their gender is so closely tied to the way their story gets told? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Of course, you can also write to us at movies@bfm.my and find us as BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening today to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.